Black Sports Saturday is on the air.
And it's shaking big time.
Your chance to sound off.
On Sunday, I want to be able to sit down, watch the football game, and with the buddy that I disagree with politically, and not have to talk about politics.
Join the show anytime, 701-271-1100.
I got a guy on the other line about some white walls.
Or you can drop us a line, studio@flagfamily.com.
You won't have what they call the social skill.
It's time to talk sports.
It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
Here on Flag Sports Saturday.
Welcome to Flag Sports Saturday on this beautiful Saturday morning. A little cloudy, but we'll get through it. That's all right. September 12th, 2020. I'm James McCarty. Jay Stenman didn't seem very impressed with that, and Spencer Jost is enjoying himself.
I'm just looking out the window going, it's a beautiful Saturday. I mean, in general terms, it's a beautiful Saturday. Weather-wise, I've seen better.
Well, you were at the game yesterday. This is beautiful compared to last night.
Well, it's not raining and particularly cold right now. I mean, it's 55
degrees.
This is
perfect. I'm watching football.
See, that's what I'm saying. Throw a sweatshirt on, then get a couple of burgers on the grill, and let's game just, over.
Do you got your coffee?
Let's just get to kickoff. That's all I'm concerned about.
Yeah, right. They could cancel before. Well, it was right before they just announced they're going to cancel a game.
Yeah, we're just
postponing
a game out in Virginia.
Yeah, which blew my mind because there's high cases just in the area, not even team-related. Is that right?
So there was high cases. I don't know if it was community-based or no reports of team activity. That baseball did. They canceled the game last night.
Did they? Which game?
Padres and...
Who were they playing? Yeah, the Padres were playing San Francisco, maybe?
Yeah, the Giants. That's what
it was. They had to get the teams retested because it seemed like there was a couple of guys that tested positive, so they were trying to...
So they're postponing a baseball game, postponing a football game.
That's depressing. Why did you bring that up?
Bringing me down, bro.
Well, at this point, you just bring that to yourself right there, I feel.
But no, there's a lot of sports last night, man.
It was.
A heck of a lot. It was a very busy, busy night. All over. Baseball, NBA, of course. There was Game 7. Mm-hmm. Sent him to the Western Conference Finals. It's just so much going on. I'm loving it.
NHL playoffs last night as well. Baseball's in full swing. NFL kicked off on Thursday. And I think this might be one of the few times where we actually have NBA and NHL playoffs at the start of the NFL season. Obviously, in usually October, November, there's NBA, NHL going on at the beginning of the season when football's in full swing. But to have all that going on and baseball, I mean, it's kind of a sports lover's paradise right about now.
And that's exactly how I feel. I feel rich. Just an embarrassment of riches. There's sports all over the place. And I don't even, half the time my team's not even playing right now. I'm just happy to have it back.
Oh, good for you.
No, I think that's what we're all feeling.
Yeah.
It's just something to get away from watching the news.
I haven't been doing that for a while. It's very depressing. That's why you come here to Flag Sports Saturday, because that's what we're all about. Quick rundown of the show before I get too off track. So we're going to do a scoreboard here momentarily. We're going to talk at 9:20, talk Twins. They beat the Indians last night. That was a fun game right there. And then Nick Olson, he's a writer for Vikings Territory, Zone Coverage MN. We're going to talk about how we're going to take down Aaron Rodgers and those pesky Packers tomorrow in that border battle because...
Ooh, I like that.
They just...
Pesky Packers.
You know, Danielle Hunter's out and hurt, but we got a new sheriff in town, and he's going to take down Rodgers two or three times. I'm calling it right now. And then the Gophers, I don't know what Mark Coyle is doing over there, but we're cutting programs because we're not playing sports right now, which means get the football team out there to make us some money. How about that?
Well, the question I have is... How many schools are going to have to do something similar?
Well, you know? Look at how big of a school Minnesota is and how much revenue they have, let alone the smaller
programs
ones.
Are big. Mm-hmm. Like, the track and field is incredible.
Exactly.
They rank.
You're not talking, you know, some scrubs who we just go to the meets to participate, you know, like a...
But you got
to
think it's not the program itself. It's the traveling. It's the accommodations. Mm-hmm. It's the scheduling. So it's unfair.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's disappointing.
And then kicking off hour two, as usual, we have trivia sponsored by Only Leanest Pizzeria. All you got to do, I have three questions. They're multiple choice. You call in 701-271-1100. You answer one of those three questions right, and I hand you $20 to go get a free pizza. I don't think that's a bad deal.
It's actually a gift certificate.
Well, it's a gift certificate, but it's all right.
It's monies.
And
it spends the
this
same.
Week's topic is Vikings football.
Woo woo.
Oh, yes. It's that time of the year, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, yeah, we've got, what, less than, well, 27, 26 and a half hours.
Yep, exactly.
But who's counting?
I know.
Yeah, right.
It's just,
are you guys the early game or late game?
We're at noon.
We're always noon. Oh, if we play at 3 Fox, o'clock, baby. We're not winning.
Bucks game is one of the late games. They're over in New Orleans against the Saints.
Is it like a 3:30 game? Or
yeah, 3:25, I think it's technically kickoff. The interesting thing is there was a couple of tweets out on Twitter this week saying that technically the New Orleans Saints hadn't received approval to play the game because of the restrictions down in Louisiana. But there was a follow-up tweet later that day by, I think, Buccaneers reporters or others that said everything's fine. They've got approval. They're able to do it. So it was like, it was kind of a, for a second, you're kind of like, they might not be able to play the game. It's going to mess up the schedule. Going to be no bye week, yada, yada.
But, they'd play on a neutral site in like Virginia or something.
I don't know, maybe.
And then also 10:30, we're going to have Wayne Wehrmeyer, head coach for Davies football. They're going to break down the 21-20
victory.
That game, I thought, after Davies went up two scores early, I was like, this game's over. And
yeah,
South made me
coast.
Eat my words, and yeah. I'm happy they did because that was
kind of hoping for it overtime.
I really
even
was,
though
too.
You mentioned it, I was ready for some overtime.
I really was. Like, I was sitting on that. And I was
after they missed the extra point and they got the ball back. I mean, you were waiting to see them connect one more time on a big pass play.
Exactly.
Give them another chance to steal that one, because that was set up perfectly last night for South to steal that game from the fifth-ranked Davies Eagles.
Now, my question was, how's the field conditions? Because they rained a couple times during the game.
They started in that second half. You could see midway through the third quarter.
Was there puddles?
On a lot of the play-action type or the draws. Out or kind of the options going out,
yeah.
It seemed like they're losing their footing more than
it's
just
good football.
Wet.
Well, no one got hurt.
No, it was the grass field. The field held up well. The only thing that was difficult for James and myself is some of the yard lines were not bright white.
Wow.
We were like, were they inside the 10? No, they're inside the 5.
They didn't
get
repainted before the game, and it was tough.
Really, but you don't want to repaint it when you know it's going to rain.
Well, exactly. I don't blame him for it, but I'm talking about it. You know, he got tackled at the 35, and we're actually at the 17. And I'm like, wait, there's something not right here.
Then we were looking at the scoreboard, too, and there was one time I was like, oh, they got him marked down at the 18-yard line. And I'm like, I get the binoculars out. I'm like, I think they're at the 20, James.
Yeah, it
was a couple yards off.
That's 6 feet right there.
Exactly. This is getting me excited. Let's go to the scoreboard. I think that's where it's at. Saturday morning scoreboard is brought to you by Advanced Business Methods. Your home for all the tools and office systems you need to make your team a winner. And we're going to start out with baseball, because that's just where it's at. The Twins yesterday, they were tied 0-0 with the Cleveland Indians, but Byron Buxton, that former Platinum Glove winner, he decided to use his bat last night.
Driven to left, and deep, and gone! A home run for Byron Buxton!
And then after that, rookie catcher Ryan Jeffers hit a solo shot to get us up 3-0. We gave up a solo home run in the top of the ninth. And then we had Sergio Romo talk some trash to Francisco Lindor of Cleveland. The bench is cleared. Twins won. Doesn't matter. We're playing again this afternoon.
I also like to point out, James, that now with that win, that puts the Twins a game and a half up on Cleveland and one game behind the White Sox for first in the AL Central.
Do you think you would ever say that, behind the White Sox?
Not this season,
yeah.
No.
You don't understand the taste I have in my mouth with you guys even bringing that up. Like, that's just...
It is, but hey, there's about 14 games, 15 games left.
Twins have 14 games left. White Sox got a couple games in hand extra to play as well. They're got 16 left, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And then Amy Olsen, through two rounds, she's +3 at the LPGA Tour. And Tom Hoagie, so they did everything. He's back in it this week. And through two rounds, I don't understand how. He's tied for 8th.
Yeah?
He's 10 under.
Wow.
These guys, I don't know what's going on out there, but...
Sometimes it's the course. Sometimes they get a tough course, you know, wind, whatever. But sometimes you get a good course, everybody's killing it.
How are you number 8 through two rounds at 10 under? That's just crazy to me.
Obviously, last night in the NBA, James, Denver fought off elimination once again. They're the kings of being down in elimination games. They won 111-105. They came back to beat the Clippers to extend that series. Clippers lead 3-2.
They had their first lead late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, what was it, four and a half minutes or something? They were down 17-18.
And as you guys said earlier, the Boston Celtics knocked off the defending NBA champions 92-87 to win that series in seven games. So we will have a new NBA champion this year. Eastern Conference Finals, I'm not sure if they get underway on Sunday, but that will be the Miami Heat playing the Boston Celtics, which should be an entertaining series. And then over in the NHL last night, the Islanders got their first win of the Eastern Conference Finals, 5-3 over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay leads that series 2-1. Tonight will be Dallas and Las Vegas, and Dallas, I believe, leads that series 2-1 as well.
Yeah, that sounds right. And going back to high school football action, Oak Grove lost last night to Sargent County 28-14. And in the EDC football, Ryan Shanley 3-0, defeating Fargo North 26-6. Central shutout Grand Forks Red River 23-0. West Fargo Cheyenne got the train moving in the second half, going from a 7-0 lead to a 28-0 victory, in part to Barika Penu, who had four rushing touchdowns, over 200 yards rushing. The man was absolutely phenomenal. And then the game of the night, obviously, we were there. Fargo Davies ended up skimping by Fargo South 21-20. And we have a couple of those highlights. It was 14-7 in the second quarter when Colton Alme for Davies took it to the house to give him a two-score lead from 43 yards out.
As they're in I formation, and we're going to give it to Alme once again, who breaks a couple of tackles. Look at 30, 20. Nobody's catching him inside the 10, 5, and touchdown, Eagles. 43 yards for Alme, who after about the 30-yard line went untouched.
And the first play of the next drive, Baker Fuller said, you know what? Anything you can do, I can do better. 62 yards all the way to the house with 4:19 to go before half.
We're in that I formation once again. Receivers split out each way. Four-man defensive line set. Fuller on the pitch. Goes between a couple of tacklers. Breaking open grass in the 50, the 40. Corner breaks it. 20, 10, and he's going to get tackled into the end zone. Touchdown, Bruins.
He got caught up there for just a quick second, and I couldn't get out that he broke a corner tackle right there. Yeah. As that made it a 21-14 game. We went into halftime, 21-14, Davies had the lead. Nobody scored in the third quarter due to sloppy field conditions, but with 4.5 to go in the game, Peyton Kessel finally was able to find Cameron Archigo for an 18-yard touchdown pass to cut it to a one-point deficit.
South able to take their time now on 2nd and 8.
At the 14. Fourth quarter, there's 4:45 and ticking down to go on the Hornbacher scoreboard. Kessel is in shotgun once again. They have that tight end one step off right, and he's looking to hit him once again, and he got it, and touchdown, Archigo! Fargo South is only down 1 point now, as Cameron Archigo and Peyton Kessel have connected multiple times on that drive, and they're looking to tie up this game with 4:33 to go.
And it was a heartbreaker after that, where there ended up being an offsides penalty. Their kicker made the extra point. It got offset, moved them back 5 yards. And that re-kick never got above the bottom crossbar, yeah, unfortunately. But somehow, some way, South was able to get the football back with, you know, about 2 minutes left. And they started trying to march down the field. There was a play where you could have called pass interference, but they let them play it out. And the final play of the game for him, they tried to get it to Archigo. It went in and out of his fingertips.
It was going to be a tough catch.
It was very tough.
He was going to go up for it. He was getting hit at the same time he was going up for it. You talk about that non-call, which you and I in the booth, it looked like there might have been a pass interference. The drive before that, though, where they did get the big pass play, but it was called back because of offensive pass interference, that really hurt them there because they had finally gotten a big play in the passing game. I think that was actually before their touchdown that got it to within 1 point. But, you know, they had some opportunities. Archigo actually seemed like he had beat the cornerback a couple other times earlier in the game. Kessel wasn't able to hit him on those deep passes. And when they finally did connect on one of those, it really changed everything. But Fuller looked really good at running back for the South Bruins. He had the long touchdown run, obviously, you know, and he was a workhorse for them as well. Interesting, as we've talked off the air, couple of the teams that we've covered so far that have been ranked teams, a lot of double wing formation and running the ball with multiple running backs. And last night we see Fargo South really try to go kind of more pro style and spread and spread the defense out with three and four wide receivers. So it was an interesting matchup last night and a very exciting game.
And the thing is, what really surprised me was South, they threw the ball best when after it started raining, once the ball was wet, which was just crazy to me.
Yeah, sometimes that's really difficult. The ball gets not only slippery, but it also gets kind of wet and heavy. So great job by Kessel and that Bruins team to stick around in that second half. And the defense really got a lot better in the second half for them.
Exactly. You always score big when you call on the business pros at Advanced Business Methods in West Fargo. They have all the business systems you need to keep your office running at peak performance. They'll make you a winner. Copy, fax, scan, and collate like a pro. With great prices and world-class customer service, take it from us. They are your best solution for office systems with all the financing options you need. Advanced Business Methods, your winning team for office systems. Call them at 701-282-3151 or stop in and see them at 1515 13th Avenue East in West Fargo. Online at abmnow.com. We're going to take a short break, come back, talk a little bit of Twins baseball because we're getting to that time of the year where every game matters. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag. I think it's time.
That was a perfect fit. I had to do it.
Yeah, I love it.
It was a good job.
I think it's time to talk some Twins baseball because, you know, we're a game out because those White Sox, they won again last night, and I'm
over. They're a good young team.
They are.
Imagine if we had a regular season, there's no way they would be.
Exactly. We'd slap them, smack them.
Well, they would just crumble. It's just, that's who, you know, exactly. Your young team.
Well, one of the White Sox announcers, I can't think of his name, of course, at the moment, but he said that the 60-game season is perfect for him because they have, you know, Giolito, he's an all-star caliber pitcher, don't get me wrong. They got a couple of other guys, Keuchel and things of that sort, where it's perfect. If you give them a dozen starts versus 30, they're going to perform much better. And then these young guys they have, if you know, they start out hot, but usually once pitchers start figuring them out midway through the years and they start slumping as a young player.
You're right.
And when you only get 60 versus 162,
you don't right have that slump
more likely than not. So
right.
But Shane Bieber, starting pitcher for Cleveland, he became the first pitcher ever. I feel bad. It was against the Twins yesterday, but he didn't have double-digit strikeouts, which is good.
Yeah.
He went 7 innings, struck out 8 Twins, and in the middle of that, he became the fastest pitcher ever to reach 100 strikeouts in a season, innings-wise. 62 and a third innings.
Really?
Dude, that's...
that's crazy.
I mean, you do the math on that. It's 182 outs. And so
I don't have my calculator pulled up. I don't have
so legitimately more than half the guys he gets out, he strikes out. Like that, you don't even need a defense back there. Like that's just crazy.
Crazy insane.
But then the Twins ace for the year, Kenta Maeda, he was probably the greatest acquisition we could have gotten. He gave us 7 scoreless innings, struck out 7. I mean, the man is just an absolute stud, and I don't know what the Dodgers are doing getting rid of him, but I'm happy they did because he's 5-1 in the year with a 2.43 ERA. He's got 63 strikeouts himself, and his whip, which is walks and hits per inning pitched, is a .74, mm-hmm. which is really good. I mean, if you want to stay about that one-ish, and you're doing fine, and he is blowing that out of the water. And Jose Berríos is coming back a little bit. He's starting to get into the old form of himself, but we have 2 more games against Cleveland this weekend, and then we head out to Chicago for 4 games at the White Sox and then 3 at the Cubs. So
that's
right there. That's the backbreaker for the year. If we play well, we put ourselves in the driver's seat. If we don't, we're in trouble.
Well, especially when you've got 4 games against the White Sox, who are the team you're chasing. So if you can win that series, if you currently stay 1 game back behind them and you take 3 out of 4, well, then you're going to be leading the division. But obviously, if you look at the schedule this year, the Twins have struggled on the road a bit. So they need to get these, what do they have, one or two games left against the Indians at home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's 2.
I'm getting to the schedule. Okay, yeah, so they got these next 2 games at home. I think it's critical they get those 2, and at minimum you got to take at least 2 of those games against the White Sox on the road because – It looks like, and we said this last week, if the Twins have home field advantage, they're a much bigger threat in the playoffs than they are on the road. But if they continue to get healthy, you know, maybe that will kind of work itself out where it won't matter if they're on the road or at home.
Mm-hmm. And then it helps that we have this ageless sensation in Nelson Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
He went 0 for 4 last night. He's still batting a .333.
That's impressive.
15 bombs, 31 RBIs, and he's played in 40 games. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like, I don't even know. And like you said, at home, the Twins are 19-5.
Yeah. Their home record is something that, like I said, their winning percentage, I'm not even sure what that is. It's got to be like 80% right now, almost. Thereabouts.
About 70.
So, I mean, if you won 20 out of 25 and they've won 19 out of 24, so close to 80%.
Exactly.
So, you know, obviously you play a seven-game series, you're more than likely going to win 3 out of 4 at home, so that means you just have to win one road game. Exactly. And that's just a 33% winning percentage. If you have home field advantage, you just got to win 1 out of every 3 on the road. I mean, that's a good way to get to the World Series and make a push for another World Series championship.
That would get me excited because we haven't won one since a good handful of years before I was born. I didn't know how to word that and not make anybody feel bad, but I feel bad knowing
back when I was your age, James, I saw a Twins World Series victory.
And another thing, do not forget at the top of the hour, 701-271-1100, we have trivia Vikings related for some free Holy and Lena's pizza because they're just great people there. That's just what they do. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a short break right now. We're going to come back, talk some Vikings football with Nick Olson, a writer for Vikings Territory and Zone Coverage MN, because that's what you do before you go and smack on the Packers on Sunday afternoon. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag.
And you cannot slip. Just move on.
It is T-minus 26 hours, 24 minutes, and 30 seconds until you hear the boom and you hear the Vikings go 1-0 on the season and Green Bay falls to the bottom of the NFC North at 0-1.
You have a little bit of this action here.
Second down, Ryan. And down he goes now officially for the fourth time today. Third and 7, deep drop for the Vikings. Pressure coming. Rodgers slammed at the 40 by Danielle Hunter.
A little bit of that.
I love it. What did it say, fourth time of the day?
Yeah.
So what's the over-under on sacks and Rodgers tomorrow? Should we go 2.5?
If we can get 2, I'll be happy.
Okay, because unfortunately, Danielle Hunter, he went to the IR. He's out for at least the first 3 weeks.
Now I'm going
to
ask, what do you know what's going on? Because I don't.
So
I've done minimal research, but.
Well, they're doing a very good job of not releasing it. And since they put him on the IR, from my understanding, they don't need to release on the injury report publicly what it is. But Courtney Cronin, she's a Vikings reporter for ESPN. And she said that she was getting kind of whiffed in the air of it being a neck-related injury. So something tweaked in there. Where I think it's just one of those, it's going to be more of a precautionary thing than anything.
And that's what I figured it was, because I wasn't worried him not practicing.
Exactly. But we got this big wrecking ball in Yannick Ngakoue, who went to a Pro Bowl in Jacksonville. He's 25 years old. He's a couple months younger than Danielle, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to call his name once or twice tomorrow, along with Nfadi Nindedabo. Oh, goodness. Every time.
Easy for you to say.
I'm so confident. Ogdenabo. Every time I think I'm going to get it, and then it just doesn't come out the way that I hear it in my head. But he sacked Rodgers last year, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him leave off right where he started.
Yeah, I think that's the key, obviously, to beating the Packers, is putting pressure on Aaron Rodgers. I don't know about what Green Bay did in their offseason, mm-hmm. especially in the draft, to try and help that offense. I mean, you're drafting the quarterback of the future as opposed to getting Aaron Rodgers more weapons. And we're starting to see more quarterbacks play later on in their career. I mean, we've got two quarterbacks over the age of 40. We've got a couple that are age 38, I believe, and Phillip Rivers and who was the other one?
You're talking Drew Brees?
No, I think Drew Brees is over 40, isn't he?
Well, he's 41, I think.
Yeah, Tom Brady's 43 now. It's Phillip Rivers, and I'm drawing a blank on the other one, but there's two of them that
Big Ben.
Yeah, I think
Big Ben. Yeah, he's, what is he, 37 so, I mean, now, probably?
You've got four guys that are playing so far past what is the normal expectation of a quarterback and playing well. You know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's, is he mid-30s now maybe?
34, 35
is my guess.
Yeah, you're right in the mid-30s, yeah.
But, I mean, it seems like you could just, you know, reload some weapons around him and the Packers will be fine, but they're not doing that. So I kind of scratch my head as to what they're doing and wonder how much longer Aaron Rodgers will be with the Packers.
I mean, they're fan-owned, so that's what the fans wanted, isn't it? Their fan base. They said, go draft us another quarterback. Let's do the same thing we did to Favre.
I don't think that's what they wanted, per se.
No, because they're not going to wait, what, 4 years until he comes into... He might not even be.
Yeah.
You know,
who knows? Maybe he'll be in a different color green next year, like in New York or something.
Aaron?
No.
Aaron, is that you?
He's going to go to somewhere like maybe the Colts that have an offensive line.
Maybe.
Yeah, that one.
He doesn't want to get hit.
Wouldn't that be nice if the Vikings had like one Pro Bowl offensive lineman?
I mean,
I remember when we did.
Yeah, and we won games for it.
I think every team wishes they had that, you know? I mean, that's why it's kind of been funny over the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, a few years ago, it was like the Dallas Cowboys had the best offensive line in football. And, you know, realistically, what do they have to show for it? Nothing. But it's nice to know that you can protect your quarterback and open some holes for your running back because, you know, if you can't do that, it just makes everything rough.
Those poor Cowboys fans all over the country, they can make the postseason, but they can't win a game. We can win a game. We just get absolutely smoked when we don't. That's just
so
what happens.
Either you win or you just
win the game or we get slapped hard. I was looking back because for trivia for the Vikings and I didn't realize. So we made it to the conference championship game again in 2000, and the Giants. We went and played them. What it was like 44-0. We lost. Like how do you get that far and you don't even score? Just mind boggling.
How dare you?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Oh, goodness. But if you want to call in, if you have any thoughts, concerns, questions for us, maybe you want to be a part of the conversation.
I'm kind of nervous, though, to see. I'm not worried about the offense. I'm worried about how our young... I just read an article last night about Holton Hill, how he's kind of the guy now.
Well, him and Hugh are the two most experienced corners on the roster.
It's not saying much.
And do we establish, are they both in year three now, right?
Holton Hill's in year three.
And Hughes was the same draft. He was the first rounder that year.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, then he's been
Well, here's the thing.
And our three and four corners are both rookies. Right.
Well,
but studs.
In the next couple of years, I think they really will be.
Well, honestly, I mean, Tampa kind of went through some of the same things last year. They had a couple of rookies back there. They had like a second-year player in their secondary. And if you can put pressure on the quarterback, especially with your front seven, and you picked up Ngakoue.
I'm so excited for that.
I'm not. I thought that was a bad trade.
You put minimal assets in there to get him.
We could afford to lose a second rounder or whatever we.
But another thing you're looking at with it, and the Vikings clearly knew what was going on with the Neil Hunter, mm-hmm. and they probably knew they were going to put him on the IR at some point here. And it was just a matter of when. So they used a couple of those extra draft pick pieces that, for whatever reason, we just end up finding. Spielman finds them all over, scattered throughout the street.
It's like they're
and picks them up. And
left over in the couch cushions. Like, oh, look, I got a six-rounder here.
It could be a rental, but he also could stay here for a couple more years. I think it was smart
to be more than 1 year at least.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're going to keep the train moving on that line.
I'm kind of excited because, like you said, Spielman has that magic. Does he know something that, do we have a stud in that Cleveland?
Yeah, maybe.
Do we have an offensive lineman that they're really excited about? Because I really think that we need one.
Yeah.
It's not the fancy. It's not the good, looking. That's the window shopping thing. But we need it.
Well, I mean, I think getting Cleveland was a real good pick, and that's going to help. I mean, I liked what some of these teams did that got offensive linemen in the draft this year. It was a little surprising on like where Tristan Wirfs went, but going back to the defensive side of the ball, as long as you guys are putting pressure on the opposing team's quarterback, I think the rookies and the third year players in that secondary, I think they're going to be just fine as long as they're not forced to cover for too long. When you're not able to get pressure from your front seven,
Aaron Rodgers can do some damage.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then flip it over to the offensive side. Cleveland is starting, correct?
No, he is not.
He's not starting?
Nope. So we restructured our contract with Riley Reiff.
Right.
So from $11 million to $6 million, and he can make update with incentives. But Ezra Cleveland at Boise State was a primary left tackle,
mm-hmm.
and we've given him a lot of reps at the guard position because—
At left guard?
Well, because, yeah, our left guard is Dakota Dozier, who's a career backup at this point.
And never heard of him.
Kind of, yeah. From what I've seen, a liability, if I'm being 100% honest.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point right. a tweak or a nick by Dozier might give Ezra Cleveland an opportunity. But I was almost thinking, I don't know if it would work out, of course, because he's a lifelong tackle. But try and slip Riley Reiff into that guard position because he's still got talent. Just these 24, 25-year-old defensive ends.
Well,
excuse me, they're just quicker than them at this point.
Right, and I think maybe as you age, our head coach for the Fargo Invaders is an offensive line guy,
mm-hmm.
and I know that he said as long as you've got good feet, you can put a guy out at tackle, but I think the guards, obviously, you want some more size and strength there.
Yeah.
So depending on how Riley Reiff is built, maybe the switch from going inside to guard would be easy. A guy like Cleveland, since he was drafted obviously earlier than a guy the Buccaneers took, I would say that at minimum, I would say Cleveland's going to be starting for sure next year. Give him that year to kind of get used to playing guard and kind of bulk up a little bit, and you know, get in that weight program and remake their body. But like you said, I wouldn't be surprised either if Cleveland at some point starts for you guys, just because. You know, if you've picked the right offensive lineman and he's good enough, I mean, I think he's going to see time sooner rather than later.
Exactly. And he's one of those guys where he's got the athletic ability. It's just a matter of the strength. He needs to get to that strength program. I mean, he is, don't get me wrong, he's jacked compared to me and you and Spence, but
we're just asking.
Okay, right. He's jacked compared to me. You guys are, you guys are in the gym recently.
Dude, I can bench like 100 pounds.
All right. Oh, there we go. You put a...
I can do it a couple times. No, but what about Bradbury? No, the offensive, the center that we drafted.
Yeah, Bradbury.
That's
Garrett,
who it was?
Yeah, Garrett Bradbury. He's a stud.
Bradbury, okay.
I like him a lot.
I was thinking about the coat. I was like, that's not hockey coat. But,
I know. You're talking Bradbury, literally UND.
Yeah, him and Elfline.
Yep.
Do we give up on those guys now, or are they still there? Are we still Elfline?
I'm giving up on you as far as who's on the offensive line.
He's on his last straw. So he played great his rookie year.
Right.
At center, got hurt, struggled at center. So we drafted Bradbury, moved Elfline to left guard. Went awful last year. So we said, hey, let's move you to right guard.
Because I'm not going to lie, when I watch a game, I don't watch the offensive line. I don't.
I think you watch the offensive line if your quarterback's getting killed in the backfield.
Right.
A lot of times you're usually looking at your tackles, you know, because
exactly.
If your tackles, especially the one on the quarterback's blind side, if he can't do his job and the defensive end is just running right around him because he's slow, it's going to be for a long day. So, I mean, that's why obviously the tackles get paid premium dollars in this league.
That's why Brian O'Neill, who was out of Pittsburgh a couple years ago, he's going into year four now, and he's one of, I would say, the better 10, like that number 10 or 12 tackle in the league right now.
And that surprises me.
Because he was one of those guys we picked up like that late second, early third round, kind of like what Ezra Cleveland was.
Right.
Who had that first round talent. They were just a little nervous because he played, you know, in the Mountain West, and for whatever reason, that turned some of those guys off.
He went to Boise, right?
Yeah, he did go to Boise, but they're a powerhouse out there.
Wow. Play against Oregon, play against the USC's, the Texas is...
They beat Oklahoma in a bowl game a few years ago.
Yeah, that was Ian Johnson.
That was a long time ago.
Dude, that was in high school.
Years ago. I remember watching that.
Don't get me wrong, that was a great game, but, you know, it's just, you play against those guys consistently. Because I was talking with somebody that knows football last night, and it's coach versus coach, you know, somebody versus, say, Nick Saban. Like, I'm taking Nick Saban. I don't care if he's coaching whatever, but I won't say they're a powerhouse, but I think that's why the draft stock.
Cause for the Mountain West, I would say. Cause
even the West Coast, I think that they're a powerhouse. But
yeah. But once you,
that's just me being, you know.
When you look at the broader picture, yeah, it's one of those things. But, you know, that's like coming in and saying, you know, this is going to really not make people happy. NDSU is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Oh,
put,
yeah.
Put them up in the SEC schedule for a year. Yeah, but put them up in the SEC schedule for a year or two. And
they're beating Alabama.
Saban's going to come here and fly in his personal jet, land right in front of the station and slap
I like how you said his personal jet.
You know darn good and well he's probably got one.
Oh, he's probably got three.
Alabama probably bought it for him. But no,
Boosters did.
Yeah, right. No, I think NDSU can hold. They beat the Gophers, and it really hurts me to say this, but they did.
They
and
did.
I'm going to give it to them. They did well,
even though
I didn't know who they were at the time.
When you put them up against a full slate, like you're saying, it's one of those things.
Well, it depends on your situation you're talking about. If we get into that topic, you know, a one game thing, like you said, or, you know, you just throw them into a bigger conference for one season, it's one thing. But if they're in a bigger conference and they get the extra scholarships and the extra money or
whatever. Well, give me recruits, a $15 million dollar locker room and, you know, they can, like I said, it's recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Some money.
Well, you know. I mean, they've done well in their time in the FCS. So yeah.
There you go. That was some pretty good Viking talk. I do have to say myself.
That never gets old.
Exactly.
It does get a little bit old for some of us.
Oh yeah. Let's fire off the cannon.
When
the Vikings defense.
When he picks a random team that's like 1,500 miles away. All right.
It just happened. I can't help it.
It just happened. I've heard that one before.
Like if you lived there for like 6 months, I'd give it to you.
I know. And the funny thing is I started following them when I moved to Arizona. So it makes no sense.
Like, I was a Tampa Bay fan.
I don't even get that.
In 2000.
I'll explain it off the air. Don't worry about it.
Oh, boy.
When I played with them, you know, in Madden 2003, yeah, of course. Yeah. 2002, all day.
Yeah.
That's when I was a fan, but then I stuck to my team.
Purple and gold, baby. We're going to take a short break before we get too far off topic, because we got to talk a little bit about Mark Coyle and the Gophers. What are they doing in Minneapolis?
Yikes.
You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag. They may be celebrating, but the Gophers are not.
No, they're not.
Because apparently when you don't play your athletic seasons, you end up losing in the Big Ten around $75 million.
Is that just from not playing football games, though? Or is that including...
It's a mostly football thing.
Is it a little bit of the basketball games that didn't get played in the
I would guess the last basketball game or two, the back end of the hockey season also didn't get played. Oh, they were going into postseason, the Gophers... Mm-hmm. Are always relevant, but the last, you know, 15-ish years, they haven't been to a title. They haven't really been to a Frozen Four.
But they were real relevant last year. Them and North Dakota, I believe, were both in the top 10, maybe.
Yeah,
top
they were.
Five,
the
right?
Gophers ended up, I think, getting up into that 9 or 10 spot, and then they said, no, you're done. And I was like, well,
because now that they're in different conferences for hockey, a potential North Dakota-Minnesota playoff game, wow, that would be fantastic.
That would be amazing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Get the Ralph going. Let's go down to Mariucci. Let's do something. I mean, let's meet in the middle. I mean, I'm sure that they would meet at Bemidji or something for a neutral cider.
Well, I'm just
they would even travel, honestly, from one to the other.
I'm just talking about if they met in, like, the Frozen Four.
If they met in the Frozen Four,
that would be one of the biggest things. I mean, they played an exhibition game or a non-conference game down in Vegas last year, or was it coming up this year? I forget. They were going to have one down at that new arena where the Vegas Golden Knights play at.
They did.
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah,
because UND was going to play,
was it 2 years? Because I think they played at T-Mobile Arena. I think they played, the Gophers.
They were going to play some random team. I don't know if it was somewhere from like Colorado or Arizona State or something in Nashville this year. Or just some team that played hockey, but I think they were going to win by 3 or 4 probably. Just kind of a given for them,
you know. That's good,
but. Yeah,
it's really disappointing because I think, I don't know if you had seen that before I had sent you the message that they were cutting three sports. I believe it was, tennis? And do you have
the three sports? Quick. So it's men's track, gymnastics, and tennis.
How do you cut a Big Ten track team? Track is...
And they get... They're pretty
darn good.
Well, they're not only good, but track is like one of those things. When you think about college athletics, you got your football and volleyball, in the fall. You've got basketball in the wintertime, you know, springtime, depending on the size of the school, whatnot, and the weather, basically. You've got baseball.
And softball, and then track.
You know, a little bit. Some schools have soccer, but, you know, and track is just, it's something that every college has at every divisional level, if it's one, two, or three. And for University of Minnesota to not have a men's track team, what the heck?
Exactly. And I'm reading this article quick, and it says that in order to help with these cost reductions and everything, there's a 10% salary reduction that Mark Coyle, P.J. Fleck, the men's volleyball coach, Hugh McCutcheon, men's hockey, Bob Motzko, so men's basketball, Patino, and Whalen, they're all taking a 10% cut to try and keep their programs afloat at the moment. So all I can say is, Big Ten, if you're listening, we need football.
Well, we just need sports back.
Well, that too.
Competition.
I mean, just, you know, just think. I mean, the last 2 weeks we've gotten to go to high school games. And, you know, last night we had ourselves and obviously the guys from Beck Broadcasting were there broadcasting. When we went to West Fargo Cheyenne, I think there was one of the local streaming guys were there. Last night the West Fargo and West Fargo Cheyenne game was covered by the guys at 1660 and WDAY.
There. I mean, you're looking, and these kids are, they're the big talk of town now, especially with the Bison not playing at the moment. They just have that one game. I mean, you're looking at this, and it's in Fargo, any and all things EDC related, whether it's volleyball, football, track, even golf. I mean, that's what it is, and they just roll with it, and they're the big dogs now.
Well, when you've got a couple stations here in town that cover the local universities, football programs, et cetera, and they don't have that, one of the stations picked up a full slate of high school games this fall to fill in that play-by-play and that sports right there. So, I mean, you do what you got to do, but, these high school kids are getting a lot more attention, I think, even locally than they would have in normal years.
And then before I do forget, because Spencer did remind me a couple minutes ago, we're trying to get Nick Olson on. It's just we're trying right now at the moment. Just one of those things where when we are able to get him on, we'll talk with him for a couple minutes, hopefully in the second hour here. But don't forget to stay tuned for the second hour because we have trivia sponsored by Ole and Lena's. You can win yourself a gift certificate. Call in 701-271-1100. Answer one question correctly. You get some free pizza. And then we're going to meet with Wayne Wehrmeyer, Davie's head football coach, because we got to break down that one-point thriller from last night. I'm excited for that. So stay tuned for that. A couple minutes here. You listen to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag.